been studying for the last several weeks. He is coming back. We have one more lesson after today in this series, and then we're going to be going somewhere else. I'll tell you about that in 2 weeks. I'll tell you about where we're going. But he's coming back. We've been studying this and looking at the end time prophecies. And some of the things that we've been focusing on in this study have to do with the promises that God has made to us. What are the promises that we have to look forward to when the Lord comes back again? We've talked about the signs, and we're looking at some of the things that, the Scriptures tell us are the signs to be looking for when the Lord is going to be coming back. What should we be expecting, and so forth. And then there's also the anticipation. Okay, the anticipation for those of us who are waiting for His return. And as we've said many times, it's like the anticipation that the Jews had when He came the first time in looking for the Messiah. And are we anticipating the return of Christ? All right? The prophecies that we have concerning the second coming of Christ tell us two main things. First of all, what is His coming going to look like? Okay? And secondly, what's going to happen when He does come? So throughout this study, those are the two main things we've been focusing on. What's that going to look like? Okay, when it happens. And secondly, when He does come, what are some of the events that are going to take place and unfold? All right? We started this study talking about three questions that the disciples of Jesus asked Him when He made reference to the destruction of Jerusalem that would take place in AD 70. We talked about those three questions we found over in Matthew chapter 24. We then were focusing on what Paul said about the great hope that we have and that we are to encourage one another with the words of the Lord coming back again, so that He might take us to be with Him and the encouragement that we can find in those promises, okay? Last week we talked about the second coming of Christ being a resurrection event. And we were focusing on the idea of, you know, what's going to look like? What is our bodies going to look like? What kind of body are we going to have in this resurrection and so forth? And so we were looking at that as when the Lord comes back again, there's going to be a resurrection. All right? So this morning, we're going to look at what Peter has to say in 2 Peter chapter 3 about the day of the Lord. All right? What's going to happen? What's that going to look like? All right? First of all, let's talk about scoffers, because scoffers will scoff, right? Okay? Y'all know what scoffers are? That's not really a word that we use a whole lot, but a scoffer is basically someone who makes fun of someone else. Okay? I've never really heard this term before, and I found this definition to make mouths at. But anyway, you know, you know people that scoff, right? Okay? They're going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you and things of that nature. So scoffers are going to scoff. That's what Peter begins this part of what he has to write about, the day of the Lord. Okay, what are they going to do? He says, first of all, you must understand that, and notice, when is this going to take place? In the last days. So he's talking about when the Lord comes back again. All right? In the last day, scoffers will come. And they'll be scoffing and following what? Their own evil desires. So those who are making fun, those who are mocking, those who are scoffing, that's coming from their own evil desires, he says. All right? And here's what they're going to say. Where is this coming that he promised? All right? When is he coming back? I mean, after all, he says, ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Where is he? Why hadn't he come back yet? He's not coming back. I mean, it's been over 2,000 years, right? But he's not coming. He's forgotten about us. Okay? Things keep going on the same as they always have been. He ain't coming. See? He ain't coming. So scoffers scoffing. All right? In spite of everything that's going on and all the warnings and all the other things, there are those like this fella. Jesus isn't coming. See? They don't believe it. They just simply don't believe it. So they scoff. Or they mock at the idea of Jesus coming back again. Peter said, he wrote this 2,000 years ago, that people were going to be doing this. All right? And they're doing it today, aren't they? That's happening all around us. All right? He goes on to say, but they deliberately forget. All right? Deliberately forget. That long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed. In other words, God said, what? In the creation, let there be light. And he spoke the world into existence. Okay, so Peter says, they deliberately forget that long ago, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water, and by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. So the world was created by God's word. He just spoke it into existence. And then because of the wickedness of mankind, he destroyed the world by the floodwaters. They deliberately forget, he says. And I think what he's really referring to is that basically they ignore the flood as divine intervention. So those people who are scoffing today, who are mocking God and saying he's not actually coming back, they forget that when God destroyed the earth through the flood, you say, that was God's intervention because of the wickedness of man. They forget that. And I think mainly his point is they forget that God is the one who is in charge. You see? They deliberately forget that. He says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. Okay? Being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. Well, they deliberately forget divine intervention in the flood. And they also don't realize that the next time, according to God's promise, by the way, all right, according to his promise, it won't be a flood next time. It's going to be by fire. We go back to Genesis chapter 9, and we see the promise that God made to Noah, not just to Noah, but to all the creatures. Okay? When I send clouds over the earth, a rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. That was God's promise. And so when he comes back the second time, the final time, it's not going to be by flood. It will be by fire, in keeping with his promise that he made to Noah and to all living creatures. It will not be by flood. It will be by fire. And by the way, the rainbow is a symbol of God's promise to never flood the whole earth again. It is not a symbol of some of the sins that provoked that flood. Do you hear me? For those today who are wanting to use the rainbow as their symbol for sin and debauchery, I sure wouldn't want to have to face God with that. Okay? He gave that promise as a promise that he wouldn't destroy the earth by flood, not so that people could mock him and throw that in his face. So let me ask you this question. What day is it? Have you ever noticed and really thought about how obsessed we are with time and with what day it is? Now, I don't know about some of you. I know some of you younger people don't have to worry about this yet. Some of you older folks that are like Cindy and I, we find ourselves constantly asking, what day is today? Is it Friday or is it Saturday? You know, is it, what day is it? You know, I lose track of time and days sometimes. Do you ever do that? You don't have to raise your hand. Ah, some of you are very honest. Some of you aren't. But you notice we have our calendars. We want to keep up with what day it is, okay? And then, you know, the y'all remember this Geico commercial? Mike. Guess what day it is? What day is it? It's hump day, right? Because we are so obsessed with time and with what day it is and what's going on, right? We got to know what day it is. Time. Time is all important to us, isn't it? Okay? Yesterday, Cindy and I were sitting, we were watching a little bit of TV, and I got up to start preparing, turn the oven on to get it heated up so I could start fixing some dinner. But I had looked at the clock that's there over the TV and said, I need to go in there and get the oven going and everything. I went in the kitchen, and the clock in there was like 30 minutes slower. I went, wait a minute. What time is it? What time is it? And I realized, I came back in and looked, and I asked her, I said, what time is it? And she looked, and she said, well, you know, the clock on the wall over the TV was wrong. Okay, I got 30 more minutes I can wait. I don't want to cook it too early. That's all about the time, isn't it? You know, it's all about the time. You know that we can actually know at any given second. You pick up your phone. If you got an iPhone especially, you can pick it up and you can find out what time it is just about anywhere in the world. I don't know. I haven't figured out why I need that feature on my phone. I don't really care what time it is in Moscow or in Beijing or any of these other places. I have hard enough time trying to keep up with what time it is right here. But we can do that. We have the ability to know what time it is anywhere in the world because we're obsessed with time. How about time and eternity? You realize that eternity is not governed by time at all? Even though we have things that are called eternal clocks, okay? I won't leave that on there too long because it'll drive you crazy, won't it? Okay? But think about that for a moment. An eternal clock is not for eternity. Okay? Eternal clocks will only last as long as this world lasts. Okay? There's no such thing as an eternal clock in eternity. It doesn't exist because there's no time in eternity. Look at what Peter says. We go back over to Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verses 8 and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Okay? There is no time in eternity as we know it. It doesn't exist. Time, as we know it, exists only for this physical world. Okay? So, once you pass from this world, you don't need to take your Apple Watch with you. Okay? For either the time features or any of the other features that it has. You won't need it. There's no time in eternity. All right? Look at what he says. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. And what is slowness based on? Time. Okay? He says He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, God is not sitting up there with a clock, kind of watching and going, okay, it's almost time. He already knows when that time is going to come, doesn't He? We've seen that in our previous studies. So So he's not governed by time as we know it. Time and days, weeks, months, years are all for this physical world that we live in. Okay? We need to understand something. God created time when he created this physical world. Do you realize that? Okay? Look at a couple of things and consider this with me. All right? God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. All right? And it goes on to say that after each day of creation. How many days of creation were there? 6 days, right? Okay? Notice what he says here. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, okay, this has to do with the Ten Commandments. All right? Look at what he says. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, or the seventh day, and made it holy. All right? Continue on. Remember the Sabbath day. How often does the Sabbath day come along? Every week, right? Every 7 days, there's a new one, right? Okay? So God not only created the days, but what else did he create? Weeks. Okay? He created the weeks too. Every seventh day is a Sabbath. Okay? He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For, and notice now, okay, in giving those commandments, where does he go back to as the basis for those? Back to creation. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay? Now, there is, if we look at time in God's realm, when we look at time in our realm, again, there's no time in God's realm. He created time for us when he created this world. You know, you're allowed to disagree with me on this if you want to. That's fine. We can agree to disagree, what have you. I know Dale and I have talked about this a lot of times, but the whole idea of the days of creation, are they just 24-hour days, or are they longer days, what have you? Well, based on this, there's no reason to believe that they're any longer. When he goes back in Exodus and refers back to the 6 days of creation, there's no reason to believe that those days were any more than 24-hour days that he created, you say. He gave us that time. And not only did he create the days and the weeks, but he also created the years. Okay? Look in Genesis chapter 5. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness according to his image and named him Seth. And you go through the genealogies and it tells us how long each one lived before they begat whoever they begat and how long they lived after they begat them. Okay? All after everybody was begotten, they lived this long. Those are the years that God laid out, you see, and gave us. But again, for this world, because with God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Okay? So the time that, as we know it, only exists for this present physical world that we live in. So someone might ask, well, what is he waiting for? Why doesn't he come back? I've had a lot of people ask me, as we look at a lot of the bad things that have happened in the world, especially over the last, bunch of years where, we've had shootings and things of that nature of innocent school children and people in churches, and people say, why, if it really was God, why does he allow these things to happen? And those things are challenging people's faith. Why doesn't he stop all of this if he really loved us, if he really cared? And the answer that I give is that he will when the right time comes. You say, what is he waiting for? Well, as we saw a moment ago, Peter said, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, okay? In other words, first of all, we need to understand God is not just some old man who's sitting in heaven, wherever that is, and he's kind of forgotten about us because he's so old he can't remember. All right? God doesn't forget, contrary to what a lot of people think. God forgot about us. No, he didn't. Okay? God doesn't get old, by the way, and he doesn't use Grecian formula. Okay? He doesn't need it because he doesn't get old and he doesn't forget his promises. All right? So what is it that he is waiting for? Well, Peter goes on to explain that in verse 9. He's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Why? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's what God is waiting for. He's patient. And as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, it's because he loves us and he wants us to be with him. He wants as many people to be saved as will be saved. And he's not going to come before that happens. And so, as I put it, and I've mentioned this before, he is waiting for the time when everyone who wants to be or will be saved is saved. And he will not come back not a minute before that point happens. Because if he did, then someone who otherwise would be saved would be lost. So he will return, and that time will come. When he comes back again, that right time is when it will be. When the time fully comes, in other words. And as we've seen in our previous studies in this series, he's the only one who knows when that time is going to be. He's the only one who knows when that point will come when everyone who is going to accept Christ has accepted him. When there will be no one else who will give their life to Christ. He knows when that time will be. And when that time comes, there's no reason for him to wait any longer, as you've heard me say before. And then he will come. All right? And Peter goes on to say, when that time does come, he's going to come like a thief in the night. In other words, he's not going to announce it to everyone. Like the thieves that break into our houses, they give you a phone call beforehand, right? And they say, I'm coming over at 10 o'clock tonight. You're going to be in bed already, right? No, he's not going to do that. Neither do burglars, by the way, okay? They don't call us ahead of time and warn us that they're coming. He's not going to do that either. He's going to just come. And so as we've seen again in our study thus far, what do we have to do? We got to be ready, right? We've got to be ready all the time, all right? Look at what, then we've got to look forward to it. Look at what he says. What is going to happen when he comes back again? What is it that Peter tells us? What's the picture that he is painting for us, okay? The day of the Lord will come like a thief, all right? And the heavens will disappear with a roar. And there's that noise again that we've talked about in all these other studies, right? This is not going to be some secret thing, as we've been saying, that people won't really know that he's come. He's not going to sneak in where we won't know it. He's going to come, and there's going to be that trumpet sound and the call of the Lord. It's going to be with a roar. So we will know that it's happening. And not only that, but the elements, he says, will be destroyed by fire. And then the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. That's what's going to happen when he comes back again. Okay? all of those previous things that we've already talked about, where we're going, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those who are alive will be taken up, and then this is going to happen. Okay? This physical world, as we know it, is going to cease to exist. It's going to be destroyed. The day of God, the heavens will be destroyed by burning. The elements will melt with intense heat, he says. Right? It's going to be destroyed. And then Peter leaves us a very important question to think about. Right? Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? So as we consider the coming of the Lord and all these events that are going to unfold, and the fact that whoever is left and whatever is left after those who are dead in Christ rise and those who are still alive in the Lord are taken up to meet him in the air, everything that's left is going to be destroyed by fire. He says, since that's what's going to happen, what kind of people ought you to be? How should you be living, in other words? And notice how he answers his question. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. You look forward to it. Are you looking forward to the Lord coming back again? I am. Okay? We need to be looking forward to that. And we need to be speeding its coming. And I've mentioned this before. How do we do that? Well, if we understand that he's going to come back at the point when everyone who's saved is saved, we need to be doing our part, our work, to save as many people as we can, because the sooner that happens, the sooner he's going to come back again. That's how we can speed its coming, by doing what he's told us to do in spreading the gospel. You say? So, is it something that you are looking forward to? I mentioned this to you last week, but I can't remember who the artist was. It was actually Kenny Chesney that has the song, and here's the beginning lyrics of that. Everybody wants to go to heaven, have a mansion high above the clouds. Everyone wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Okay? Everybody wants to go, but wait a minute, I don't want to go now because I got too many things to do. See? Where Peter is saying, hey, we need to be looking forward to that day. Now, I am perfectly content to stay here as long as he chooses for me to stay here and to do what he has called upon me to do. That's what we should be doing. But I'm still looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to him to come back right now. Okay? How about you? What about his promise? Okay? In keeping with his promise, Peter says in verse 13, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. That's his promise. A new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because this present heaven and earth are going to be destroyed. And he's promised us a new heaven and a new earth. Look at what Isaiah, what God told the people through Isaiah the prophet, behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Okay, and in chapter 66, in verse 22, as the new heaven and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. And then in Revelation chapter 21, which we'll look at more next week in our last lesson in this series, John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. That's what Peter just referred to. And there was no longer any sea. That's God's promise. A new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the old stuff, this that we have here, is all going to pass away. It's all going to be destroyed. So we look forward to what God has promised, a new heaven and a new earth, the abode to be with Him forever. All right? Are you looking forward to it? Okay. He is coming back. All right? The question is, are you ready for Him to return? Okay? Are you ready? Wesley has a song that he has chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And we'll have, Dale, you have just your phone number on the screen there. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, Dale's phone number will be at the bottom of the songs. And if you would like to have if you have a prayer request you would like for us to address, you can text Dale during our invitation song, and we will address your prayer request or whatever it is that you have for us to address. For those of you who are here with us physically, if you have a prayer need or request you'd like for us to address, all you can do is let us know that. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And, of course, I'll be right up front to anyone that wants to come up here. And if there's anyone who is not yet given their life to Christ, then want you to know that you have the opportunity to do that today, right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord, separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning. And for those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning, if there's someone out there who desires to become a Christian, all you got to do is text Dale or let us know, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible for you. But we can't do it if we don't know that you're ready to do that. So we offer this time an invitation, an opportunity for anyone to respond. So Wesley, come on up and lead us. Let's stand together.